It is game day on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, the very dapper Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. In about 30 minutes, we'll welcome in Marty Turco. We haven't had him on for a while.
Sammy's on mute.
Oh, no, I'm good.
There he is.
I'm
back.
Special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars, Steve Alliquette, for our Tuesday edition, yes. National Hour. We always have fun with him. And in the meantime, JB will get ready, as you are all ready for, what, 6:30 live on Sportsnet?
Yeah.
What do you got going?
We got the Hockey Central pregame show, because there's 5 Canadian teams in action tonight, maybe 6. And, another few intermissions later in the night.
Oh, okay. You're not going to come to our show tomorrow tired, are you?
But do I exist any other way? Just middle-aged life with kids. I exist.
Just look good.
Just
That's
be happy
all.
I'm here, all
Just
right?
look good.
It'd be weird if we all weren't tired.
Came in fresh. Like, I had a great sleep.
Yeah, that would be the
Been eating vegetables and exercise.
All right, boys. The Dallas Stars make their only visit here in Toronto to take on, shall we dare say it, because it's written in my Sammy program, the slumping Toronto Maple Leafs. Sammy.
Two losses to two good teams.
They come off 5 wins in a row. Jeez. They lose 2, and they're slumping.
Yes. I think the temperature around the Leafs right now would say they're slumping. They're trying. I don't know if you've noticed the lines for tonight, but I think they're trying Steven Lorenz on the top line tonight.
You should have the sign of a red hot team.
If you're not slumping, you don't usually put your fourth line winger on the first line.
What? No way.
I don't mind it at all.
I don't either.
Hey, don't get me wrong, man. Fourth line slugs, go out there, try to get noticed, try to get bumped up to the third line, man. This guy skipped the third line. He skipped the second. He just went to the first.
He might be the Leafs' most consistent player this year, not named Chris Tanev. Like, every game, you could count on what he's going to do. He's going to forecheck hard. He's going to finish his check. He's going to be in the right spots. He's going to get off the rink with a smile. That's going to be his every day.
I would like to clarify my comments by saying I'm a fan of trying it.
Right.
But you don't usually do that when you're red hot.
No.
So, there you go.
Of course.
There you go.
And
we have the coach on.
Regardless, where it is, it's going to be a period, 3 periods, 2 games, but whatever it is, it's got a shelf life.
It does. The only thing with that role, which, yes, Matthews has typically been good with someone there who forechecks hard and gets in on pucks first. I think that's like the biggest, the most important attribute, but you need someone who, when they get the opportunities, because Mitch hits you back door, you're able to put it away. I know Lorenz has some offensive touch.
Oh, yeah. He can shoot a puck, too.
Yeah. So, there's a chance. There's a chance that it could work for him. But you just need to be able to make plays with these guys when it comes time to make a play.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube for our first Kippers Clipper on Lorenz on the top line.
He just brings energy to that line, I think, more than anything. Size, compete. Pretty simple game, obviously, but he's going to be at the net. He's going to forecheck for him, and he's going to get in there and create loose pucks and things like that. So just to add a little energy to that line.
They were low energy, I would say, on Saturday night. So looking for an infusion of life.
This is the rotation of Matthews and Marner together, where they first put them together. It's fantastic. It's spectacular. They're red hot. They cannot be stopped. It's the best line in the league.
Reunited.
What's going on up there today? Anyways, so you reunite them. They come together. And then it starts to go downhill a little bit. They start trying new guys in the left wing. They put a fourth line winger up there. They try to do things. And then they get split up. And then they go back and they start again at the start. It's a rotation. Yeah. They do it. It's the same thing every year. It really is.
That left side kind of remains tricky for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It does. It does remain crazy. And I just need to say this, that of having the core four guys, no coach wants to put 3 on a line for an extended time or 1-on-3 lines for an extended time. It is always 2 pairs. It's like, what about Willie and Austin? No? What about Mitch and Austin? What about Willie and Austin? You know, and it's like not just the same. They're great. I understand it's probably going to end up being the way it is, so it's fine, but no one wants to see it different, not for a minute.
Yeah. I really thought it would be different for extended periods of time this year.
I did too. I thought a new coach would be like, guys, how do you not try Willie here for 10 games?
Yeah. And they just really haven't gone to it. So,
do we got Lorenz part two?
Let's play that.
Second clip?
Yep.
Keep it simple. That's what I say to him. He doesn't need to change his game. You know, he just needs to do what he does. And, you know, Matthews and Marner, they'll do what they do. You know, I don't think he needs to try to force pucks and trying to find them and things like that. You know, just keep playing your game and do your thing. It's just, you know, sometimes when you put a worker with two skilled players like that, you know, just the guy that's going to, you know, meat and potatoes guy, go to the net, hound pucks, create loose pucks battles for these guys. You know, sometimes they need that.
Okay, sounds way easier than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Easier said than done.
Yeah, it's easier said than done. And
you have some experience with
this. I've had some experience with this.
Tell us what it's like going into a game being like, you're playing with mess today or whatever.
And I did. Keenan once in a blue moon, and this happened to me in Quebec. I'm up and I'm playing the right side with Messier and Graves.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
oh my God, what a thrill.
I'm in Washington and
just leave your stick on the bench and go out there.
Me and Alan May wanted to play with Dale Hunter so badly.
Yeah.
So badly, right? Because we had like Rob Murray and a few other slugs just like us. But Dale Hunter had this reputation for being this like heavy, gritty guy, but could make plays and score 60 points. Mm. And you cannot just go from the fourth line and think you've got this mindset of dump and chase and hit and dump and chase and hit and dump and chase and hit to Marner and Matthews and dump and chase and hit, which you could do on the first line. But then on the second one, when you've now, maybe for the first time all season, actually find yourself beside Austin Matthews on the bench,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you never really do.
Right.
Because it's not your line.
Yeah.
And he looks and goes, hey, listen.
Never do that again.
I was open there. I don't know if you saw me, but
we had the puck.
Just slide it over. And you're like,
uh-oh.
But he told me not to change anything. And it's like, buddy, I don't care what he said.
No.
Get me the puck.
Yeah.
Alex Kovalev, the same thing. I played with him one game. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, coming in to support you. He goes, no, you go the other way. Go the other way.
What do you mean?
Because he didn't want me to draw.
He didn't want me to draw in attention. Yeah.
Bring more bodies in. Mm-hmm. He's like, skate away from the play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well,
that only goes against everything I've ever done.
This is new to me,
yeah.
Right?
Well, but
that's what's going to happen to Lorenz. He's going to have some conversations with Matthews and Marner, and it's not going to be like having one with Revo. David Kampf.
This is what's funny, because people talk about Sidney Crosby, and they're like, oh, it's hard to play with a skill guy. And then you get certain players who go, no, it isn't. They're great. And certain guys go, no, it's different. And I think that's why sometimes strange players end up clicking. Like Chris Kunitz was the best guy for Sid.
Pascal Dupuis and him had excellent chemistry.
Because he probably did the simple things but could make a play when he needed to and had a good sense for that balance.
But it didn't go from just starting to play for the first time to magic. There's a process. There's conversations. There's
things have to go wrong to figure
learning,
out what to do right.
Learning about your tendencies, what you like, what you don't like. And they had, you know, Kunitz and Crosby had magic enough that they put them together on
2014, Sochi.
2014.
And Kunitz scored the third goal and the gold medal game went down. Over the shoulder of Henrik Lundqvist. Anyways, continues.
I don't think there's time for Steve Lorenz to get on a Four Nations roster between tonight's start.
See. Hey, if Austin wants it.
But there's maybe plenty of time for them to have multiple conversations on, hey, let's try this next shift. Let's do that. Or look for this. Or, you know, come and support me more. Or whatever the case is. Matthews and Marner will have a bigger influence on what Craig Berube just told us moments ago.
Do you think they would tell him to do anything other than what the coach wants him to do? Do you think they would say, hey, come on.
Give me the biscuit, buddy.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a coach where you've rolled your eyes and said,
No. I have only had coaches at which I've rolled my eyes.
Yeah, good one. Yeah. Right? Okay, and then we're going to try it this way ourselves.
But there is, you know, there is a history of guys like this finding magic, you know, and not to say that my father-in-law, Clark Gillies, was one, but he happened to play with a couple of skill guys because he could make a play when he needed to, but do some other things. And Hyman did that for Matthews and does it for McDavid at times. I'm not, but if you're Lorenz, you have to be sitting at home thinking of those examples, being like, well, there's $40 million out there for me if this goes perfectly, and otherwise, back to being a million-dollar guy the rest of my life.
Yeah. There'd be a ton going through his head before puck drop.
I think it's, maybe this is oversimplifying it, but there's a reason there's first-line players and the reason there's fourth-line players, and it's very rare that just a straight-up fourth-liner, like, he's a career fourth-liner, he's a good fourth-liner, he does what he does, but, like,
he's a PTO this year.
To go up there, like, even those guys you're talking about, like Hyman, you know, he has the elite work rate to dig out pucks and has the ability to finish, and, like, you know, he's a $5 million player. Like, I love Steven Lorenz, but, like,
hey, buddy.
Look at this.
This is great. Talking about work rate, getting in on pucks. This is what's got him there, right?
I know. Listen, backhand like Matt Sundin in the second game, we thought he was maybe the best signing of all time.
What about this one? He still might be.
Yeah. Anyways, I hope this works because this guy is passionate, cares, loves the Leafs. I really like this guy, but I'm skeptical. Is that fair?
I don't know. I'm so obsessed with the fact that we just showed highlights.
There's nothing really to be skeptical on.
Well, how about you just put, like, switch it up. The reason you're putting Matthews in a fourth liner with Matthews and Marner to get the $25 million combined guys going, you're putting it on a $750,000 player to do that. Give me a break. Split them up. Do something else.
Should we not be reading more into this? Isn't about Steve Lorenz. It's about why is there no energy on Matthews and Marner right now?
I would say that they went, you know, we laughed at the dash six and how impossible that is to roll snake eyes that many times in a row. But then to then come out the next night, and it should have been a bounce back performance and a, you know, and to not have that, they weren't even the best line on the team the next game, you know?
But one game before that, we're praising Matthews back.
Well, I know. So, but back-to-back games, you would think that the embarrassment of the one game would be enough to get some energy out of them. I do think it says something that they're like, give him the guy who goes in hard and gets the puck every night. Maybe this is the start of being concerned again. Not saying, just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. We're a radio show. We have lots of time.
Yeah.
Good challenge tonight against a pretty good hockey club.
Do you want to know what their coach wants to see from them tonight?
Yes.
Let's hear from Craig Berube on that.
Well, just a more complete game, I think. You know, I thought, like, last game, you know, I think we were pretty solid defensively, but we didn't create enough offensively, power play included. So just kind of, we need to put it all together tonight. But at the same time, you know, they're a stingy team, so you got to take what they give you, and we can't open it up. And, you know, we don't want to play that way either. We just need a real good, solid hockey game for 60 minutes tonight. We need everybody. You know, we can't have any passengers tonight.
We don't want to open it up. We just got blanked at home on Hockey Night in Canada. Heaven forbid we take a chance. Sorry. I really like
him. I don't know. He kind of sounded like Marner.
What do you mean?
Well, just we weren't that bad, right? There's a lot that I liked about my game Saturday night.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
is it a sales job?
Yeah, I think it's 2 days afterwards. Like, we were decent defensively. You watch the tape. I think it's a little different now than it is 2 minutes after the game saying, I thought we played well. Anyways.
Vancouver didn't have much. Yeah. But I mean, is that what they want to be? Maybe it is. Maybe that's that. We never did get to all the tree living clips. If you had interest in those, or if you'd like to go somewhere else, please let me know.
Well,
I also want to talk Riley. If you want to talk Riley.
Let's stick with the team before we go into management. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about defense or do you want to talk about Yarncroc? There's an update today. Joseph Woll also took more ownership about his last start. Where do you want to go, JB?
Let's just get a quick Yarncroc update.
I know this is exciting.
I know it's going to be 10 seconds, but I do love the Yarncroc.
You got a Yarncroc jersey at home. Yarncroc.
I'm a fan. Clip on.
Well, he's, you know, timeline, that's a tough one still, I think. He's a ways away, but he's progressing in the right direction, kind of skating a little bit now, so, which is a good sign. So you know, we'll see how it goes here, I'd say in the next 2 weeks, and then we'd have more definitive timeline.
Cali Kucherov.
Can I tell you something? I don't even know what's wrong with him.
Sports hernia.
That's right. Yeah. It's just been so long since you know, we've heard his name. Forgot about that.
And there's surgery there, wasn't there?
Yeah. He's coming back April 16th.
It would make no sense for him to come back a day before that.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thought, though. I don't want to plug him in game one, two, three.
Send him down to the Marlies, get the conditioning stint down there.
Oh, you can plug him in after the trade deadline.
No, you can't.
No, you're not allowed?
No, the salary cap, so the roster limit does go away. So you can have unlimited contracts.
Yes.
But the salary cap is still in place until the final day of the season. So.
Okay.
Yeah, couldn't quite plug him in. But yeah, you can send him to the Marlies.
Yeah.
Okay. Joseph Woll. Mm-hmm. I think we got a clip on him. He will start tonight.
Yeah.
He'll go up against Jake Oettinger. Last time, stood on his head.
And Oettinger did the opposite. What was the final score of that game? But they scored a lot of goals on
a lot,
it. Yeah. Not pretty.
Nick Robertson's favorite team to play.
Yeah. All right, let's get to Craig Berube on Joseph Woll taking ownership for the loss the other night.
Oh, I do like that. I like anybody that takes ownership of themselves and the team and things like that. That's important. And, you know, he wants to be better. And just like the whole team wanted to be better that night, you know, like we didn't play a good enough hockey game to be successful.
Okay, and let's just be clear here. Joseph Woll spoke the other night on his performance against Carolina. He didn't start Vancouver with the Hildebeest.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Yep.
He got that.
So he goes back again tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's good. You guys have any concerns about Hildeby?
I just want to stay for Joseph Woll because I believe he should have started Saturday night. Yes. And I do believe that it would have been a classic scenario where you come off a crappy game and you're needed 48 hours later to stop the bleeding.
Craig Simpson said the same on the broadcast.
And that's the playoffs. We're down 1-0. We're down 2-1. You were no good. And now you need to come and become the best goalie on the ice right now.
Yeah.
And I think they missed an opportunity to put Joseph Woll in a position of, buddy, this isn't about you physically. This isn't about us worrying about you being hurt. This is about you having mental toughness to come off a bad loss and turning it right around.
So my thought was, Kip, that I totally agree, but I do wonder if they got some inclination of maybe he's not feeling 100% healthy, and maybe that's him saying, I don't know, this doesn't feel quite right, or if it's some data they have from, like, you know, they wear the equipment in practice.
So how do you get over that? And because if that happens in the playoffs, you're ruined.
I think it's not the playoffs. It's January, and you already lost a goalie doing this. So another injury-prone goalie that you played on the next night due to merit. So he had a bad game.
So you're saying there's no reason between now and the end of the regular season to ever consider a scenario where you want to replicate what it would be like in the playoffs? Because what are we playing 82 games for, Sammy?
Because, Kipper, I watched this guy's ankle explode on a floater from the half boards last year, and he was gone for 2 months. Like, you have to put it behind you. But you can't, Kipper. You have to treat this guy the way that it's kind of been merited his whole career. Like, he's been injured his whole career. You can't just push. You can't start him every night.
No, but I do agree with Kip that it's like, you have to operate like he's someone you're going to be able to do this
with. For sure.
With.
I understand, but you also have another goalie who had better numbers than him. So you're hoping he comes back healthy and you can go back and forth. And if it's in the playoffs, guess what? If Woll starts game one and he's doo-doo, guess who's going in game two? It's the other guy. So I don't know if it's necessarily something you need to be, like, maybe when we get into March, you can start thinking about it. April, maybe start thinking about it. But, like, now it's January. You got to keep him healthy. Like, if he gets hurt, then what? You got Murray and Hildeby?
Yeah. I know, but I do feel like I'm big on experimenting in the regular season. It's why I get frustrated with the lines. Like, could we see what this looks like? Could we see what that looks like? It's January. It's a pretty good time to take an injury risk if you're going to take one.
I love the saying that 82-game season is a dress rehearsal for the big show.
Totally understand.
If you don't practice well, if you don't rehearse well, how the heck are you going to do it when it counts?
Stolarz is back on the ice, I'm told. And by I'm told, I mean I read it somewhere.
Okay, I thought maybe Jake told you that.
No, are you going to try to sneak him in a couple of games before Four Nations?
No.
Then I don't think so.
What's the point then?
Yeah, I think it's just easier way back. Sooner kinda, you can get doing it, the better.
Yeah, I think it's geared up to come when everybody returns.
21st, 22nd.
Like, you just, one of the things we talked about before the year with the worry with these two goalies was the lack of games they've started, like in their careers, and like the amount they've actually played in a full season. So we're now at 21 starts for Joseph Woll.
Yeah.
You don't want to hammer down here.
There's no hammering down.
Yes, we're entering into the unknown. We're close to never.
You might need the unknown. You need to make it known.
You're going to need the unknown, but pushing him to play three games in a week in January when you're 4 points clear of first place, and if you lose him, you're hooped, I don't necessarily see the value in that. If you were going to do it, you started Hildeby Thursday night in Carolina against a better team, Woll at home. That's what I wanted to do. But I understand them backing off Woll. I really do.
I am curious what they're going to do between Hildeby. Like, Murray hasn't been lighting it up in the American League, if I'm not mistaken. Hildeby, I wouldn't blame him for a poor performance per se, but like, always just kind of want him to make another save. Looks a little uncomfortable. Doesn't seem quite NHL ready to me.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as things tighten up, he doesn't have the calmness yet as a NHL kind of pro to handle it for me. And I think there's maybe some good stretches where he can show promise and potential, and you just want to harness that and keep it, going well in the minors. But to stick him now into some important starts, I'm not sure he's ready for that, or the Leafs should be willing to put him in that position. If the margin between Matt Murray and him are minimal, bring up the guy that can keep it calm.
I don't know.
Better in Matt Murray.
It might be better for Hildeby to develop. To me, it's like, you're not going to trade for another goalie.
He has to win. He has to win, and he has to look good.
I think Hildeby's looked better than Murray looked the two games.
Even if that's true. Like, you're not going to win in playoffs
but
if you got one of these guys, right?
This guy also coming off two major surgeries and has had less than a handful of games.
I totally acknowledge that. But that's, like, right now, if you're going to the who's been better in their games, like, neither of them have been great, but I think I'd give the nod to Hildeby.
The only reason Hildeby's up now is to buy Matt Murray time to get more starts in. And it's not because he's the better goalie right now or the guy that they envision to hold that spot if anything happens.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. It just feels like, I've thought, like, should they trade for a better third stringer given how injury prone these other two guys are? But if you get to playoffs and you're turning to that third string guy, the David Rittich that you trade a third round pick for or whatever, you're cooked. So, yeah, whoever it is, Hildeby or Murray, you're right. Are they going to be that different in performance? Probably not. Might as well let Hildeby start more in the minors.
Yeah, I'm just seeing Matt Murray has played four games since in the new year. 2-3-2-2 goals against. Just not. That's just in the AHL. So they're playing him a lot in the AHL. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get to some Brad Treliving quotes because he met the media, and I'm not sure.
This was yesterday.
Why?
Halfway point.
And he was probably requested or people wanted to hear from him. So well, I guess that was it.
A lot of the team's general managers have been talking. Like Hughes did it in Montreal. I think Stamos talked. Like, I think it's just kind of like.
Yeah, media. Okay. That's fair.
It's better than never hearing from them.
Like, so where do you want to go first? On center depth seems to have taken the most attention.
Power play two, but yeah, let's start with your topic there.
Yeah, we'll go with clip two.
I think we got depth. We got lots of guys who can play the position. Is it an area that we continue to try to
you know, upgrade. I mean, I would say this, you know, the guys at the top of the food chain are pretty darn good, like Austin and you know, how can you talk anything but positively the year John's had, right? Like, so to say you're going to go and get somebody above that, it's just not, you know, I don't think that's realistic. Is there ways that we can, you know, continue to look at adding to that? Sure. I think there's some depth there. Is that an area that we'd like to continue to look at? Sure, it's one. But we probably, along with about 15 or 18 other teams, are looking at center depth. So it seems to be a position du jour.
I mean, we knew they needed someone. So, you know, we've gone through the list of names. There's not that many names and a bunch of teams vying for people like this.
Well, the thing to me is when you look at the standings, not a lot of sellers.
Well, like, that's a problem. The East, there's so much parity.
The East, I mean, the West is more so. I think there's more defined sellers in the Western Conference. But in the Eastern Conference, like, every team outside of Buffalo can kind of convince themselves that they might have a chance to get in there.
You think Ryan O'Reilly would come back to Toronto?
No.
I don't either.
No, and Elliott had a report on him Saturday night that said he'll be treated almost like he's got a no-move clause. And I don't think I think there was a lot of conversations between Ryan O'Reilly and Nashville when he decided to sign that, yeah. Like, I'm not jumping around. I'm not looking to be someone's savior again in March. To me, Nashville's maybe looking at this season as a write-off, but one that they can come back the following year and make the playoffs again or right. Compete.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're not just going to be bad.
They think that they could be Washington.
Yeah.
The Washington Capitals. So he's not going anywhere.
Mm. But it does spell trouble for Pontus Holmberg, I think. You know, out of the lineup as one of the depth center guys they've tried in various spots.
Yep.
They seem to have reached a conclusion here that they're not sure they can trust him.
And I get it. And, you know, Brad alluded to Matthews and John Tavares. But, you know, Austin's having a year where it's not hitting on all cylinders. And, you know, at this point, forget the numbers, forget about anything. You just hope that his best hockey will come in the spring, mm-hmm. right? Where he'll hit that high level of he's just unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And we've seen him putting the puck in the net in the past. John Tavares, he said he's having an unbelievable season or a great season, and he has. But John's kind of been known as a guy that gets maybe a little tired towards the latter part of the season. His numbers are always stronger in the front half than the back half. And you just got to make sure that when the centerman comes in, you know, he can be one of those guys that can be almost a 2B. Not a definitive Boyle, Plekanec at the end of his career. You know, they're talking about Yanni Gord. To me, that's like bottom six. Mm-hmm. They need somebody just in case something happens to John, gets hurt, Austin's back, flares up, whatever the case is, that a guy that can go in there and kind of hold his own. That's, to me, is the centerman that they need, mm-hmm. not a definitive third or fourth liner.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny, though, Kip. Like, we do these sort of things and talk about what they need, and I agree with that entirely. But, you know, it's a matter of running through it, and are we just talking about Brock Nelson? Like, you know, when you narrow it down to who's there for you.
Today?
He will be the hottest commodity at center ice.
But I've said this to you before. Yeah. We talked about passing yesterday. To me, he's another guy who shoots it in the net from the net front.
Yeah.
You know, it's another – yes, it's the best bet. And at some point, you're going to have to just do what you do and hope it clicks. But, yeah.
There's slim pickings. Right? Beggars can't be choosers right now.
Any interest in Taylor Hall at left wing? You don't like their left wing?
No.
Nope.
Well, no. I think just from listening to that.
Granlin out of San Jose.
Listening to that clip, it just struck me that he's like, yeah, you know, it's not going to be, basically, he's like, it's not going to be Kadri, JT Miller, or Brock Nelson, is what that kind of clip said to me.
that he's looking for.
Talking up the other
he's
team?
Looking. Well, no, that he's just like, they're not going to be better than those two guys, and they're having great, like, they're great players. It's hard to be above that. It feels like they're depending on him to be the second line center in Tavares.
Any significance out of what he said about Austin and his participation in Four Nations?
No, just basically no news, and we'll see when it time comes.
Yeah, he didn't really like shoot it down or whatever. But yeah, you want to listen to the power play one? I thought that was interesting. Yeah,
which you tell me. You
wait, we haven't talked about John Klingberg.
Oh my God! We should talk about that quickly.
Which is related to this. Let's listen to Tree Living on the power play, and then let's do it.
Mm. Oh, well, the power play. Yeah. Certainly. That's an area I think we should be a top power play. It has been a top power play for a number of years. So that, to me, is an area that can get cleaned up. I think the 5-on-5 scoring, again, it goes in fits and starts, right? You talk about your top guys for a early part of our season. Kevin, it seemed like we were being carried by some of the big boys. Then we had some depth scoring. So he sort of goes back and forth. I think the pieces are in place here that we should score enough, but certainly the power play is an area that it needs to be a difference maker for us, and it hasn't been right now. So that's certainly an area of focus.
Let me read you a sentence from my guy, Anthony Petrilli of Maple Leafs Hot Stove. He says, since the Leafs posted a ridiculous 50% month in February 2024, they're 29th in the league on the power play. That's a 67-game span, nearly entire season's worth of play, and it doesn't even include their 7 playoff games, which were even worse. So going on for, this is not like, oh, they're in a rut. Like,
they're in a big rut.
This is like a cavernous pit.
A chasm,
yeah,
if you will.
This is a large problem.
This is a Grand Canyon.
Yeah, so this is at the point where you hear John Klingberg to Toronto Rumors again. Now, I want to take everyone back to when he first signed with the Leafs, and he played the first few games. I believe it was game 2, where I came in here and I said, he looks like Cale Makar. I don't know if you remember this game.
I do.
He was dancing on the line and...
We're surprised you're still on this show.
I know.
After that.
I am too. He was unbelievable that game. I was like, they fixed it. And then I don't know if it's his injury or what it was, but every game from the moment I said that, he looked worse. Was it just the injury? Mm. Is there this great power play defenseman within him?
He was horrific in Anaheim prior to that.
But this presumably is related to the needing two new hips.
I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm just saying that... It wasn't like he was Klingberg, Dallas, turning down $60 million over 8 years. Whatever he did, it was at the height of one of the better defensemen in the National Hockey League. He went and bet on himself, ended up in Anaheim, and it was a disaster. Then he signs with Toronto at a minimal deal.
It was eight mil in Anaheim, wasn't it?
Four and a half. One year, eight.
Yeah.
Here, 1 year, 4.5.
Yeah.
No years, no money.
Yeah.
Since.
And I don't know. Is it all better? Is it fixed? I just, what worries me is them being wrong.
Well, if they signed him to a $1 million deal, you could bury it.
Forget about that. It's the time and energy that you waste that you needed to put somebody else to get ready for April. That's what is the most important thing, is you have to win now. You have to get ready now.
And their power play stinks, and they don't have an internal option. And I think this is the Hail Mary where it's like, what if it works, where you have an elite power play guy?
Can we check under the hood of 800 guys that are presently playing before we do that?
Sure.
I totally agree, Gipper. I'm just like, never been
instead
more
of a guy that just has been out. I don't know what he's been doing for the last 6 months.
Skating in Toronto.
And that's going to get you ready to help.
Dancing.
That's going to get your 65 game power play out of a funk.
Oh, we should go. We're way late. We got to get out of here.
I get it. You may have to go down that. I've said it moments ago. Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, maybe I'll choose.
Maybe that's...
We are Frankie Valli as an organization.
I'll choose.
Maybe Klingberg's it right now. Okay, let's take a quick break. Maybe. When we return, Marty Turco will help tee us up. Toronto and Dallas tonight, Scotiabank Arena. back after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, let's welcome him. One of the best for the Dallas Stars. Many moons ago, now just sitting back and living the life. Marty Turco. Oh, no.
Are you at Citrus Farms?
Are you at a pro shop right now?
No.
Where are you?
Well, kind of.
Are you ready to tee it up?
This is our office. No. This is our office.
Oh, it's your office.
Yeah. How's in a year, we'll get you down here. We'll be playing. It's like a private lake and with a golf course on an island. It's sick down here in the middle of Texas. I'm in Dallas right now. This is just like our clubhouse office in Uptown Dallas. But this is our logo. It's a peach logo. Damn. So it's a peach capital of Texas. That's why I got it on.
But if you invite us, we can be there tomorrow. Okay? We'll drop everything. That's how desperate we are.
I'll get the charcuterie.
You are the king of the charcuterie board. I'm telling you.
Well, if you come down tonight, miss the game, we've got tea time at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Does it come?
He might be there.
Does it come with a Dallas Stars win or a Toronto Maple Leaf win going into tonight? Let us know where you think the Dallas Stars are at, because we've always had them as a top team, a contending team. A couple of injuries and not significant ones. One to Tyler Seguin and the other one, I guess, to Marchment. So where are they right now for you?
We're in a great spot. We obviously got some cap room because of the injury to Seguin. And, you know, if need be, we could utilize that. But probably most importantly, what we're doing on this particular run on the road, the way we're playing, the way we're looking, collecting points and wins in some tough places, I think is great. I think we're deep. We've won some tight games. You know, we do have a stud goalie. It's with a new backup this year, DeSmith. He's put in some good games for us. But, you know, the reason why we're back on track really is because our top line is. And we have four good ones. We're probably one of the deeper teams in the league. You know, you see, you know, just different guys out there, you know, Blackwell and Steele, even at the end of the game the other night, you know, in a 6-on-4 situation. We're good. We're deep. And, you know, we've had a few guys in and out of the lineup, but that's no different than most teams. We had a little lull there during around the new year, but guys are good. Yeah, you know what always got me pumped up was a fun trip up to the Northeast in Canada. That always helps out because, you know, hockey matters as most as anywhere as it does up there. So guys are always looking forward to going.
Marty, you guys are the third best team in the league in goals against per game, and I think the best penalty kill in the NHL. Do you attribute those great defensive stats to good personnel, goaltending, or coaching?
Well, all the above, but your best penalty killer has got to be your goalie, right?
Yeah.
our guys have been. You know, they haven't been tasked to make probably crazy saves. You know, there's been a few awesome ones, but, you know, for halfway through the season, it's just been a real good combo, right? A belief, a work ethic, believing what the coaches are telling them to do with their scouting, but just being in good places. And I think that it goes down to, you know, what I said earlier, just being deep team. You know, you don't have to have your best players out there all the time or your best goal scorers, even though there are at times, you know, Rupe's out there and he's really picked it up. Rubbo's on some kind of heater. And so we're good. We got a lot of hockey smart guys. And I think, you know, when you talk about penalty kill, it just comes down to hockey intelligence, being prepared, obviously blocking shots and work ethic. And we just kind of have that right mix right now all the way across the board.
Earlier in the season, it was Joseph Woll versus Ottinger. I think close to 40 saves for Woll, and he was absolutely lights out for the win in Dallas. And now they go again head-to-head. You mentioned Ottinger, and Ottinger's been better. There's no question. But he is considered one of the best goalies in the league. And for me,
I haven't seen too many games where he's absolutely stolen games on his own yet. And he's got that capability, Marty. So how much more room has he got to go here for the Dallas Stars?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the game here in Dallas. It was a goaltending clinic. I feel like we had a goaltending clinic against us for about three of the four games that we played here in Dallas, and the Wall one. I just love the way he plays, so that was enjoyable. But Jake did steal some games in the playoffs in his first, not even full year, against Calgary, a series we should not have been in, never mind gone to seven. So just that alone says we know he has it in him. But he's got really quieted down, and he's moving less, which is probably a good thing. He's tracking the puck fantastically. He's going to be on the Four Nations American team. In my world, he probably should have a chance of starting. He probably won't, but I think he does have that pedigree. And kind of what, you watch goaltenders, if you go black and white, which, you do, because you're just a silly forward, Kipper.
But, so true.
But when you listen to people talk about them, especially the players and the coaches, the confidence that they give them, the belief that they have in them. And he's just one of those guys with a great disposition, a great demeanor, somebody obviously that can carry the mail, which is important. We used to play a ton more games, but still playing 60 games, in this league these days, the way these guys play, it's tough, and you can get it from them. So we pay him accordingly. We have high expectations for him. And I think even better yet, he has high expectations for himself. And he works hard. He's a great kid. So I just think if you see what we've seen for the last 3 years, for the next eight, this organization's in a good spot.
Speaking of Four Nations, a couple of snubs from the U.S. team, if you will. Jason Robertson has been very good since not making the team. I believe Wyatt Johnston as well, kind of in the same boat. Do you think those guys took it personally?
I hope so. I would. Yeah. They're in this league for a reason. Wyatt plays a teenager for a reason. Jason Robertson plays in all these all-star games, leads our team, if not close to it, every year. He's a nifty player. They both are. Do they both deserve it? Yeah. You look at the rosters, do you blame them? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So I would take it personally. I don't think it says anything about our market. We had the Winter Classic here. We played a lot of national games this year in the United States, been in the Cup Finals or been in the Western Conference Final three of the last 4 years. It's just hard. It's a hard one to crack. My days, talk about Canadian goaltending for too long, but, I had Brodeur and Luongo and others that I had to just in order to get there. And now I look at our who it is in terms of pedigree across the league. I never say my timing was off because it sounds like I'm complaining, but you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I think you're justified there.
So, Marty, as far as blue liners are concerned, we're seeing kind of this new wave, from the moment we laid eyes on Cale Makar, and then Saturday night here in Toronto, we watched a pretty special one in Quinn Hughes. Miro Heskinen's another one of those type of guys where, less Scott Stevens and more just high-end talent, right? And I got to think Thomas Harley's another one that is going to start making more noise about, being a special player as well. But where do you see this blue line moving forward with those two guys?
Well, the third thing on that, those two, we got some younger guys on our team. Dumbo, we picked up, but we feel pretty confident moving forward. But, the latter of the two you mentioned, Harley's been just dumping in goals in overtime for the last couple of years, just giving him supreme confidence. He's a puck mover, his head's up, he's a big body, and he's been getting better all over the ice. And so I think that is his natural progression. I think he is like, a lot of other potential stars in the league that it just takes a little bit longer. He has all the attributes, so we feel good about that with our coaches and him. And then Miro, he's a special one, right? And he's the reason why he got drafted, third overall. He's just He's super talented, and he's, yeah, you're right. He's not Scott Stevens, but he's more Scott Niedermeyer, where, you know, he can cover up for any mistakes that he makes or his partners with his speed. It never looks like he's flying out there, but he's always catching people. But his stick skills, his intelligence, his hockey IQ, his competitiveness is just almost unmatched in many ways. Sometimes he's so good, you yearn for more in terms of maybe a point production. But he's at his best in the playoffs. He eats 25, 6, 7 minutes a night. Tough to find. They're good minutes. Seems like he's floating on the ice the whole time. So this, we got a lot of good Finns. This one in particular has been a real rock star for our group. And when, you know, you talk about those deep playoff runs that we've had, I point right to him first and foremost, because, you know, he's the guy eating all the minutes and he's playing against the best players every night. So he's good. Sometimes you just want a little more of Miro from a point production side. But, you know, I said it when Zuboff was here, he could have tons more points. But he gave you the best minutes out of anybody. And really, the game's here to win, not just get points. So we're lucky to have these guys.
Marty, last one for me. You guys are just in a super tight division. Winnipeg, Minnesota, Colorado. How do you handicap the division and how that sort of changed this year?
Yeah, we all assume Chicago will be a little bit better. You know, they've had their moments. I thought Nashville, right, would be better, but we knew this was going to be the best division, and it's turned out to be true. You know, didn't know Winnipeg would be so strong. You know, the record's crazy. You know, Minnesota was could have went either way, but you know, deep they are. And my boy Billy G, you know, great dude, great GM. They just have a great team. When you look at it, the way they're built, and he's got no qualms of how he does his business, which is fantastic. And Colorado, kind of, you know, after last year, you knew they'd come out strong. They haven't been perfect all year, but you just watch them play, and they're just a blast. They're fun. They're good. They're deep. It doesn't seem like whoever's in net, they're winning hockey games, plug in a few players here and there. And they got some really supreme talent. And I'll tell you, they're fun to watch. So I think there's two ways to look at it. One, this division makes you bigger, better, and stronger. And also this division beats you up a little bit along the way. So we're glad. I remember the years back when we were in the Pacific, we played 4-4, 8 games against our division foes those years, trying to create rivalries. Yeah. I'm glad that's not the case anymore for our guys.
Hey, Marty, quick one before I let you go. Nick Robertson's brother plays on Dallas, eh? What's his name?
Jason.
Jason. Do you think Jason would hope one day to be as good as Nick?
Try to keep pace with Nick tonight?
Think they got some money on it? Last time I checked, yeah. Nick got the better of him.
Yeah, I think they're both pretty cheap, so I think there's no money on it.
All right, pal.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys enjoy, man. Good seeing you.
We're coming down there. We're going to hold you to that invitation.
1 o'clock tea time tomorrow. Don't be late.
Marty Turco.
9:00 at 9:00.
Special assistant to the president.
I also, that's the world's vaguest invite. An island in Texas at a private lake. Come
1
find
p.m.
me.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Anyway, here I come.
I'm telling you, hang with him for a few hours. Like, it's a blast.
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
Oh, my God. He's the best. He's the best. All right, so what do we think tonight?
You know, this Dallas team is a little injured, right? You mentioned Marchment and
Tyler Seguin.
Going to be interested to see how they spend that money, because they need some reinforcements to hang in that division.
Derek, how much time do we have?
1 minute.
Okay. Pete DeBoer on Chris Tanev, because he had him there. I love the guy. What you see is what you get every night. He never wavers. He was really compromised, and you'd never know it. There were some days where he couldn't get his skates on. He found a way to get through it and help us in a deep playoff run. The Leafs are hoping for more of the same from him here. There you go.
What a player.
All right.
Any chance to praise Tanev?
We're back live nationally. Steve Alakett joins us. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go away on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.